welcome to another episode of Three Wise DMs, the podcast where three dungeon masters who've been doing this for way too long talk about all the things we do to try to make our games as good as they can be.
Hi, I'm Tony.
I'm Chris.
Nevermore shall we meet on some dimly lit street, darling, two wrongs just don't make a right. So I'm sending you home, for my heart can't go on, stealing love like a thief in the night. Yes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the sixth season. We don't really have seasons, but the sixth year of Three Wise DMs with another episode of, surprisingly, Three Wise DMs. I don't know if you tried to click on Joe Rogan, but it probably sounds a little different right now. So welcome back. Hope you all had a wonderful new year. And also this is the Rock and Roll DM, DM Dave. I'm like losing my mind here. We had such a little bit of a break there that I don't even know what the hell we're doing here. I think we're recording an episode. So welcome back. As you guys know, if you have been following us, we are building out our crowdsourced campaign setting known as Boomtown, our Weird West sci-fi meets D&D. The ancient tech has been rediscovered, which brings magic back into the world. And we ended last year with building out the gunslinger, our Roland, we were building out our fighter gunslinger to get a sense of what does it look like in this world, since we're kind of building it out of 5e, just because that's the most played thing. So we thought we would continue on here with our four top and talk about The Thief in the Night, which that was that song written by Harlan Howard, old country guy. I never found a version of him singing it. I knew it from Mike Ness, the singer of Social Distortion, who did a country two country records, one of them being called Under the Influences, and he did A Thief in the Night, great song. And we're going to build out up like we did with Roland. We're going to build this rogue, this thief, out to third level, and we're going to see what does or doesn't have to change to kind of make them fit into Boomtown. At this point, I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to throw it over to you guys.
So, I don't know. We're going to keep the name rogue. I don't know. I was kind of leaning towards bandits. That may fit class-wise a little tighter.
Man, I just like, I would just love thief, right? Like the original... Well, not original, originally. A thief was an add-on class originally, but the thief, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of banditry, right?
But there was a thief in Breadbox. That feels pretty OG, at least to me, but what do I know?
Yeah.
So the rogue or the thief, I know we kind of threw outlaw out as a subclass for the gunslinger, and I know as we go through this, we're probably going to go take apart from somewhere else and swap them because they fit better overall in the vibe that we're looking for. But looking at the base of the bandit or outlaw we're trying to create here.
Tony, I did it again. We have to come up with what do you call this person, though?
Oh.
I mean, that's our first thing. Like we did with Roland, we tried to jump right over it.
Oh, my bad.
What is the good name for our... Also, I don't know about bandit, because like that just makes them immediately an outlaw, right? As opposed to like maybe they're just like a swashbuckler, right? Like roguey.
Okay. Anyway, I mean, we can still kick that around between rogue, outlaw, bandit. That's fine. It's all in the same wheelhouse. I'm thinking our character's name, our prototype for this adventure, his name would be Maverick.
Okay.
That's my vote. You can pitch out there. I figure the cleric will be Doc somebody. We'll work on that too. D8 hit points looked good to me. On the subject of the saving throws, I was thinking about maybe pitching something a little bit more interesting for our world. So all the base characters in 5e start with their core saving throw, one of the three king ones of saving throws, like your Dex, Con, or Wisdom, the very valuable one, the one where three quarters of your saving throws take place in that block. And a rogue traditionally gets intelligence. What if we pitched for the secondary that our characters would have the option of choosing between, like, the three lesser ones as, like, a bit of flavor? Like, saying you could take intelligence. You're down to take dex. You could take intelligence or charisma or strength if that fits the vibe you're looking for a little better.
No, I think for sure. And actually, I was thinking a little bit more like that, like the rogue, the thief, the bandit, or whatever we're going to call it in Western times was very often charismatic. He was like a Han Solo kind of character or somebody like that in a lot of those. But the other thing that I was thinking that is the rogue itself is a damage dealer. All right. But we have literal, like, we have people rolling around with pistols and rifles that do massive amounts of damage. So sneak attack starts to become something as soon as they start to level up that starts to become something almost untenable. Like, what if it became more, we thought more of the idea of like quick draw mechanic where it's initiative based, it's an initiative bonus or a bonus for being first in initiative, a way to be able to maybe perhaps skip initiative order or jump or reroll a certain number of times a day where it makes it more or less about I'm consistently just adding freaking, you know, starts off being 2d6, 3d6 pretty soon.
No, absolutely.
My pistol it's, is, you know, thing.
Yeah, your excellent points. I would say let's put a pin in that for right now until we have to actually get into like some of the actual like features of the class, as it were. But yeah, obviously that's going to be one of the biggest things that we're going to have to deal with. But back to what Tony, you were saying, I kind of like that idea in the sense, and I don't know why it's not already there, but the concept. So we had made Dex the one of the base saving throws for our fighter, our gunslinger, Roland. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like what if you could then say you can then pick the second one out of all of them or just out of like three? Because in the sense, that does give a sense of, just like you get to decide what proficiencies you have with skills, like, well, maybe I have a very charismatic fighter or a very or a really intelligent cleric or something. And I think that that should also be part of my saves. I don't mind that idea at all. So, yeah, so I would say we could have like our base one. So we had it being Dex as our fighter, our gunslinging class. I mean, I'm thinking Dex with a thief would be similar because, you know, it's like, Chris, you were just talking about quick draw mechanics and stuff. So like Dex is obviously, they're fast hands, right? So I say, yeah, like I don't mind saying that like saving throws, like you get your base saving throw and then you pick your second save. Like, because that's your call, right?
You'd make that across the board for all of them.
I guess, generally speaking, you literally get to choose everything else. I get to choose between skills to kind of customize my person. Why can't I choose between my saves too? You know, just because I'm, you know, a fighter doesn't mean I'm just immediately really good at constitution, right? So, or whatever, you know. So, yeah, I think you get your base one, which kind of shows like class-based ability. And then you have your second one, which is much more who you are innately. So yeah, I love that. So Dex is obviously one of them for also Tony, I'm thinking, what if Maverick is like what they're known as? We don't have a full name yet, you know, like a Josiah or something
John
like that.
East. John East. John East. My version.
It was, you want to make some of the Maverick West class?
Because it felt like Wild Wild West a little bit, so I was like,
oh, no, that's okay,
a straight pull off of Jim West. Yeah.
John Maverick East. Oh, that sounds pretty. That sounds pretty. I like that. All right, and we're going to say Rogue right now. But we can skin that as we go forward. So we got obviously same D8 hit points, right? At first level. Let's go now into, actually, why don't we go like we did with the fighter? Why don't we roll out some stats for John East. Johnny East.
Wild East. We have to come up with a thing.
Dude, I love it. John Maverick East. I like it. All right, let's
can't look like Will Smith, because that would make it.
Let's do
all right, here we go. All right, my first roll, here we go.
Yeah, let's do this.
Ooh, this it's not bad. It's a 13.
All right. Okay. And remember, guys out there, we love to do roll four, drop the lowest.
Yeah,
so
that's what I'm doing here. So I got, that one's pretty good. That's 11 and 4. That's 15.
Oh, there we go. John East.
This one is a 10.
You need some normal skills, you know?
Okay, this one's not bad. That's 11 and 3. 14.
Mm. Yeah, that's pretty hot so far.
This one's going to be that's a 6. 6 to where? How many do we have here? How many do I have left?
One more. One more, yeah. There's going to be something John East is really
okay, good. Okay, this one's not bad. This is a 14. He's 14. Fairly good. He has, like, yeah, he's got a bum. I can't have a bum leg, I guess, because the dexterity has to be good. Yeah, the bum.
I love that he has to roll out. He or, well, it has to be a he now. It's John. But it's, yeah, they got to roll a 6 somewhere.
Of the dice.
Like we were doing, we did with rolling 2, we did a raise 2 and raise 1. So what do we think? Do we want to really just bump it up? So like you got like a serious, like a 17 and a 15. Do we want to try to bring that 6 up to something even manageable? Or do we want to let people just have to deal with the Maverick?
He's got like a really, really low.
He's like, oh yeah, he's a one-armed bandit. That's why he has a 6. He has one arm.
He's not very strong.
I mean, one of those 14s is kind of aching. Yeah, you could put 2 16s very manageably.
Okay. Yeah, but so you want to do like a like turn the 15 to a 16 and turn a 14 to a 16?
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
I like
I'm
that, right? They'll have a dump stat there.
So, because I really am excited about this dump stat. I'm just throwing that out there.
So just as we're talking about character building for our world and we're doing the martial classes right now, we had talked about these characters having some form of unarmed combat. Like the unarmored defense. That's what I'm looking for. So like we talked about, the fighter or the gunslinger who uses intelligence in his dex to build up, because no one's wearing armor, right?
Well, and like we were saying, like the best that you're gonna get with like a gunslinger is like a big old leather duster that's gonna be kind of like at most studded leather, right?
Right.
So it's gonna give you some level, but if you're a fast hands, like if you're a two story expert, you know, you're robbing. You're probably going to be dressed out a little differently, right? So yeah, the armor is quite different.
It's really like kind of a non-factor in a lot of cases. I mean, I don't know about you. I wouldn't want to be walking around in August wearing a long sleeve leather jacket in all situations.
I do like the idea that an unarmored defense mechanic could be applied, and we could in essence make it partly intelligence based.
Especially, but you could. One of the things we could do, especially since we're making saving throws to be customizable, is the saving throw, the thing that you choose as your additional saving throw becomes what it is that your unarmed defense is based upon. Unless we want to go very specific by class, but if we wanted to make that variable, since that's something that's going to be available to all of the classes, as a thought.
Yeah,
we're already creating that customizable ability there.
Right. The problem I would find with that would be that everyone would just optimize my saving throw to my unarmored defense, right? Which I mean, still happens if it's based on, let's say, dex or intelligence or something like that. Also affects it. I don't know.
So I kind of have a thought surrounding this, but I want to preface this with, I don't want to alienate strength in our world entirely and make that like a dump stat.
Yeah.
Because
if
you've played Red Dead Redemption, you know strength comes up literally all the time. I mean, maybe that's our job as DMs to make that valuable in the world. But mechanically speaking, for here, we talked about dex and strength. And then I was also kicking around con and wisdom. Like, what if the martial character specifically could pick two of those and saying that is what's going to make up your unarmored defense stat?
Okay. All right. So, like, in essence, you get and then if you have a proficiency in that throw, you also gain the additional proficiency on it.
Negative.
Just attributes.
Yes, like monk or barbarian.
All right. So show me. Let's play it out with Maverick here, how that might look. But before we do that, why don't we actually throw some of these attributes into John's stats here?
I mean, obviously, there's a 16 in dex. That goes without saying.
I think that has to be, right?
And then you're kind of thinking about the charisma versus intelligence versus whatever we want. It probably ties into the unarmed defense a little bit, like, or unarmored defense. I think just naturally it's going to would become part of it if we're letting people customize in this world. But
I think the six is in wisdom. He makes bad, rash decisions.
I absolutely was. I was like going through Tone and I'm like, what do I put this in? And I'm like, I don't want him to be like an idiot, like, so in intelligence, I don't want him to be like completely uncharismatic. He's a rogue, nope. Right? He's the maverick. Strength, so he literally is like an invalid. So yeah, it kind of has to be in wisdom, right?
Okay, six wisdom.
Yeah.
Oh wow, and that's going to be at a minus two then. That wisdom is going to be at a minus two. That's sweet.
Watch those charm spells. All right.
Oh, yes, wonderful. Yes. All right, so we got rid of a 16 and the six. We got really sweet scores after that. I mean, we got another 16, a 14, a 13, and a 10. Those are all solid. What do we think?
He's charismatic.
What else?
Is he intelligent?
Is he more of the card player kind of maverick? Is he, you know?
I mean, if it's me, I don't know. I'm putting my 16 in con because I want to live. My 14 in charisma, my 13 in charisma, and my strength is 10.
That's not bad. Between the
I don't mind the strength is at 10.
Yeah.
The con. Well, it depends. Like, do we like how much will charisma play into this? You know, because then he's going to be either really intelligent or really charismatic.
What's his unarmored defense?
It'd be 16 at that point.
Yeah.
Right. That's a solid level one AC.
Okay.
So scale mail.
So we're saying maybe the 14 in charisma.
Yeah, generally.
You want the 14 instead. You want the 16 in con, which isn't bad. I mean, obviously, you know, it's better to think, can I live? And then the 13.
I'm big on that.
The 13 in intelligence, then.
Yeah, that's
so he's one. He's by no means. He's smarter than the average bear. All right, so we got a plus three in dex. We got a plus three in con, which is good. We got a plus one in intelligence.
It's good character.
And a plus two in charisma, which is very solid, and a minus two, which I believe that is correct.
He has a gambling problem.
It goes from 9 to 7 to 5. Yes, so it would be at a minus two because it goes on the odds going downwards. So even if you're one below 10, you immediately get the disadvantage. I think that's why they did it that way in the thing. But anyway, all right, so now that we got stats here, let's go back and really nail down this idea of the saving throw and then the unarmored defense idea. I like the idea because, yes, we're talking about hand cannon. So, like, you can still die with a shot, but, like, you don't want to just somebody, like, 50-50 chance at hitting you, right? I think that might be a little too lethal, but yes. So the unarmored defense, take me through this one more time, what we're thinking.
So I just want to throw this out here. Like, we initially talked for Roland and said his armor defense would – because your idea was he would be battle savvy in the sense he would look around his terrain, look for places hide.
Yeah.
So we did intelligence and dex with him. But I'm kind of proposing widening it. What if we said we used all the stats that were used in 5e as part of various unarmored defenses, the monk and the barbarian, which means you could pull from dex, con, intelligence, or wisdom. This doesn't really stack well for the spellcasters who are going to use cast like mage armor and then have a 19 armor class at level 1. That's not going to fly, but I'm talking martial characters.
Well, no, I mean, I like the idea, right? Because the whole point of unarmored defense for the barbarian and the monk is that they are not allowed to wear armor in their class in the same way, right? So it gives them some ability to actually, like, be able to dodge and all of that. So since armor is outside of magic, right, which, like we talked about, like, if you find yourself a glyph-etched leather duster or you've attached something to it that gives you armor, well, that's awesome, right? Like, that's just super cool. But, yeah, like, the whole idea is that you can't really get armor of any, like, notoriety, so having an unarmored defense, and then you're picking either and then just like that, if I am wearing armor, then I'm taking that armor class, if I'm wearing like studded leather, or If I'm not, I get my unarmored defense, and I can choose the higher of the two, right? Just like anybody can. Because, like, things like studded leather still do. And if I, like, with Roland, with his studded leather and his dex, he was rolling at a 15 armor class, which is nothing to sneeze at, you know?
And that's comparable. I mean...
Yeah, yeah. All right, so with John East, the Maverick, we got dex as a save, and then what other thing are we thinking?
Towards charisma, I feel like he's going to be a charismatic, you know, he's like Wall East. But
I'm not against
charisma, that one being, if I'm thinking from a optimization standpoint, that is a very lightly used saving throw, except in like the LOTR game.
No, I like it.
It's,
I
there's like 12 of them like a session. But
all right, so we would have a 0, we would have a plus 5 dex save, we'd have a plus 3 con, we'd have a plus 1 intelligence. We got that minus 2 wisdom save. So yeah, like whole person, he's, you know, and then his charisma, he's got a plus 4 on for his save.
I thought his intelligence was flat at 10.
I have his 13 in intelligence. The 10 was in strength.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
No, that's okay. Which I like anyway, because I really want to try to push some stuff like we were talking about, where intelligence really can matter in this world. Like if you're smarter than the other person, but also like with the idea of tech and having to figure that out and stuff, like these things, I think we can work it so that it might matter more, you know, so intelligence doesn't just become the wizard only, you know. All right. So with that, they'd be rolling with a 11 hit points. To start with.
Okay. Not too shabby.
Yeah, not at all. All right. So like we did with Roland then, let's just continue on here into like our skills. Now, we did change some of the skills. We turned Arcana into a tech skill, in essence, because like ways in which to work with the tech. And then, Tony, you had the great idea of coming in with, instead of history, we're calling it currently Streetwise, which is the way of the world, knowing people around towns, which does include history as well, but it just gives a much more, as opposed to me doing a dissertation on the lore of the, you know, because not so much is known about this world as you enter into it, right?
Yeah, I think he would roll out with the general package of the other abilities before we got the proficiencies. I mean, everything else looked pretty solid, don't you think? Like expertise, sneak attack. If you want to change like thieves cant to like slang or code or something.
Oh, well, I'm definitely going to want to get that. But with the there's nothing on the skills list currently for our current 5e rogue that is out of hand. So what do we think for John East Maverick?
I mean, he's definitely got to have something like persuasion or something like that in line with deception. The fact that he's charismatic, right?
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt.
Perception, so we'll would be tough, at least to get it up to something manageable, because that score is going to be pretty tough there. Acrobatics or something, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, I love, obviously, like sleight of hand and stealth, especially if we go card sharp style with him. So I don't know which of those. Definitely like acrobatics, right? I mean, that's always...
He's got a...
Who isn't taking like some level of acrobatics or athletics? Like, I mean, feel free, you're guys. For it. But you
it's
are
a physical
asking
world.
For
you have to do things.
You are asking for troubles. Yeah. But we could go either like perception or deception.
Deception's like, got to be in there.
Deception, right? Yeah, like as I said it, I was like,
he's
the Doc Holliday character in a sense. I mean, obviously, that's what I'm already thinking, right? And then our last one, are we thinking either stealth or sleight of hand in my mind? Or tech?
Stealth would be more usable, but sleight of hand more, it would be seen more... character focus, right? Like story focus. He might be good at like stealing or doing tricks with his hands, but stealth certainly was,
because even with it, even without it, he's still rolling with a plus 3 on stealth regardless, because he's dexterous to begin with. So
if you're a rogue and you don't take stealth, you better come with a backstory element. Like,
that's why I prefaced it. All right.
We went with two optimized and two character based ones. All right, not a problem. All right. So how about you guys start talking now about some of – Tony, you came up with the Frontier Pack last time. So I'm going to fill out John's skill list here for the listeners and for us. Let's start going over like some of that equipment though, and then we'll start getting into some of the features of our Western swashbuckler.
I mean, yeah, he's going to have a backpack / saddlebag. It's going to contain the bedroll, mess kit, tinderbox, canteen, lantern, lamp oil, 10 days of hardtack, 50 feet of rope, and an ammo patch with 24 rounds in there, generally speaking. That's like, welcome to our campaign. This is what you get as a, you know, gift basket.
I'm just throwing this out here, guys, just because it was like the second thing in. His animal handling is at a -2. So, you know, horse riding is difficult.
He's legendary.
Yes, he's a legendary horseman. Yes, continue.
He's going to have late proficiency skills. So, I mean, I was thinking this kind of character, like in Tomb of the Rogue, could have concealable handguns to start. But I wouldn't let them start with rifles. And that's going to kind of reach out to the subclass later on.
Yeah, and I was one of the things that I had thought of too was one of the things I always pictured these guys doing would be like blowing up a bridge or being really good with that. So there could be an optional kit like a demolition.
Ooh, that's pack good.
That has black a powder in it and crafts an archetype yes. that leans into that. I don't know if that would get
I like that, Chris.
The artificer, but it's very much
no,
like in the spirit
that
of
is...
the.
That is wonderful. I love it.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Go. Like that you could be a that you because it's right. It's a little different than in D&D, the state of the world. So it makes it more like Western-y.
It's like a fireball in a box.
With that said, too, I think it also and I think this is an important part of Boomtown. You know, all campaign settings have a different kind of lethality level, right? Like if I'm going into Dark Sun or Eberron, like that's going to feel a lot different than if I'm going into Dragonlance, this high epic fantasy, right? And Boomtown it's lethal. There's hand cannons rolling out there. There's shotguns. So demolition also, like it kind of fits. Like you're going to have areas in town that are full of gunpowder. Like you're going to blow it, right? You're going to blow up the train, whatever. So, yeah, I think it fits into it.
Well done, Chris. Yes.
All right. And, oh, we got some. We have some. Woo. All right. So
who do we give these demolition skills to, do you
think? Real quick, John East, just real quick. Here's some of the high points here for his skill list. He has a -2 in animal handling. So I'm thinking he has a cart. He has some sort of cart that's behind a horse.
He's constantly getting bitten by stray dogs.
His insight is also at a -2. His medicine is at a -2, which is fine. Interestingly enough, his perception is also at a -2. So his passive perception is at an 8 currently. So, you know, that's interesting.
So
that'll be an interesting rogue.
Not to sneak up on. Got it.
Yeah. Maybe he has a bum ear, right? He's deaf in one ear.
From blowing up dynamite.
Less precise. We want to give him a character trait there. Yeah, possibly right. a dynamite.
All right. Too. So we went with he also has the Frontier Pack, correct?
Yes.
Like you said, right? Which does include, as we said, usually we go about 24 rounds of ammunition because that allows you to reload. Either twice or three times, depending on how many weapons you have. And I was filling that out. What weapons did we think about? Are we thinking just revolvers, knife?
Revolver, right? Knife fighter? Knife. Yeah, I want to do a knife fighting subclass. I liked your idea, Dave. I want to kind of make that an option.
Well, it's one of the archetypes of the West, yeah. Right? Is like that the knife thrower, the knife fighter person, you know?
You could say a pistol, right? We want to stay away from rifles, maybe, if you're a thing. So the pistol two daggers, you know, knives, if we want to go with a more of a knife archetype versus the
bladed weapon.
Like Bowie we'll say like a revolver tomahawk. And two knives. Or two edged weapons of some sort. Yes, yeah. Maybe he's like more of kind of a Chavez kind of character, you know? That type of thing.
Which makes sense. I was trying to think about, like, how could we justify, like, hey, you're the knife fighter. I'm like, well, why would I be the knife fighter when everybody else has guns? Well, we have to kind of sell that because one of the things is going to be ammunition, too.
I have ideas with that, too, and that'll come into, Chris, your talk about sneak attack, which we're going to be coming into. But let's talk about the first one up for our features with our first level John East here. Expertise. I mean, that's obvious. That's a simple one. Okay. That can also just take care of I mean, we could do obviously the Thieves Tools thing or Demolition Pack or whatever we want to do. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking that could also take care of maybe like his perception issue, right? Like we could make him now, just for
less
John
nearsighted.
East, just for John, right? For John specifically, he's still perceptive. He's just not.
It might not be a bad idea. Yeah, he will. Right? Not, he will get ever forever got snuck up on. So.
Right. So we'll say we'll erase that minus two. So he's just at a zero. So he's at a 50-50 up, right? For perceiving things, and he has a passive of 10. Which is, I think, is fine too. So we took proficiency in that. Now I'm thinking proficiency, like you could decide like which way you want to go with this. So thieves tools, obviously, if you're going to be kind of a pickpocket person, or things like the demolition thing, right? Like you have your herbalism pack, you have your demolition.
I think it's just like it's a kit, like a demolitions kit, just like any other that would allow you to be able to have.
I'll let you make that.
You know.
And I'm just gonna say, like, I feel like. Just with John East, he's Maverick, right? So I feel like he's the demolitions guy with such a low wisdom, right? Because who else would be playing with
it
this
would be
literal timer in a box,
like
right?
That. Yes. Yeah.
So I'm thinking he's okay. So we're demolitions pack is his other.
He's missing a finger or two.
Yeah, I'm playing this guy. This is my guy. So he's proficient in demolitions pack. And then also proficient with perception, because that actually doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense to not be perceptive like that in this setting. But all right. I don't want to go to the big one yet, because that's going to be quite a discussion. But the thieves can't one. I really think that this fits in wonderfully when we were talking a couple episodes back about our guilds and our different organizations and factions, like. We have that like underground network of rogues and thieves and outlaws and all of this. And there should be like, I feel like Thieves Can is so cool, but it doesn't really get, and this is a lot of how you run your game which is part of it, but it doesn't really get leaned on enough, you know? But I think with this world, like it really will matter because it's the only way that you're really keeping things like knowing who your friends and enemies are in a way. Yeah.
You're not getting into a speakeasy talking regular. I mean,
right, exactly. Exactly.
We can put more situations for it to be used, but I think it works very well as it is the mechanic
but it's
itself.
Yeah. So Thieves Can't is just, or whatever we might, you know, whatever we'll talk about it, whatever we'll call it in the end.
Bandit speak.
Remember too, out there, listeners, reach out to us with this. Remember, this is all crowdsourced. Now, we're coming up with a lot of these ideas, but we want to hear ideas from you. I mean, just like you guys voted and called the first town in Boomtown, Gallows Springs. That was all from you guys. So when we're talking about stuff on here, throw your ideas out to us. Reach out to us at 3wisedms.com. You can reach out to us at 3wisedms@gmail.com. And then obviously Facebook and Instagram, a lot of the conversations are happening there. So please, please reach out to us. Let us know your thoughts as we crowdsource this campaign. All right. This is the big one. So sneak attack. Chris, you are absolutely correct. Just right off the bat with 1d6 additional on top of like if you're rolling with a revolver, it's like 2d8 plus your dex. Like it's enormous amounts of damage. Which fits into
the lethality of
weapons.
It is the roguish power, but right. The thought being is that what if we make the concept of the quick draw as like I was like that sounds very westerny, and it would be there could be a damage bonus, but it's based upon where you are in an initiative, and maybe the sneak attack becomes more of a mechanism for moving you around in initiative a certain amount of times a day, or you get a bonus on this. So that you become more of an initiative monster than you become just a straight damage dealing monster. You just have to make sure that you're positioned correctly. But it means you're more moving around in combat.
Yeah, so it's kind of like the way I'm hearing it with that, and I like the beginnings of this thought, but it's like the archetype for the rogue, the initial archetype of the assassin.
Yeah.
Right? So
If you
lead an initiative and no one has gone yet, you're definitely going to, like, you've taken up a position, right, with, like, your weapon. But, like, I really think you really have to be hidden. It has to be, it's more on the DM to adjudicate with the sneak attack to, like, I don't just run behind a rock and all of a sudden I have sneak attack kind of thing. When we're talking about firearms, but I'm thinking, like, especially if we talk about, like, the knife fighter, right? Like, that's really that sneak attack thing, right? Where you have, like, you know, you get up on them and right,
maybe coming up, I mean, behind maybe them, you split it like that, though, because I like the idea of controlling sneak attack damage on pistols through the concept of some sort of quick draw mechanic. Is that's where you're getting it? I'm not, like, pistoling you from the side there. The knife person, obviously, you could retain a lot of the sneak attack thing, because for them it totally makes sense. That's much more in line with the roguish level of damage you're normally doing in applying sneak attack.
Right, because they're usually doing it with a bow, not with
a dagger.
Not with a fucking flamethrower.
Well, let me pitch this out here. We could go that way. If they were shooting a longbow, and I know rogues don't even start with longbows, but just hear me out. He's shooting with a longbow, or he's doing a sneak attack with a rapier when he has the opportunity, okay? His average die damage is going to be 4. On the D8, right? If this person were to, and where I do agree is, and this is where it kind of gets touchy, like if you're in a really in a sniping position, like, right, like you're lining up a shot to do this versus, and I don't want to nerf the rogue. That's really not what I do. Now,
absolutely.
The difference damage between the base damage from the rifle and or the longbow is instead of 4, you got 10. So we're talking 6 points of damage. Which at first level is a lot. It is.
But not as you go up, though, right? Yeah, and especially if you're dropping. Because, I mean, usually the sneak attack, the reason that it exists in that way is to, one, make the rogue, you know, be able to hang with big damage dealers.
Sure.
And then also it's because 5e is generally starts out with the idea of the bag of hit points, right? So it's not just about getting hit. It's about getting hit enough times. So, you know, when you're fighting the dragon, sneak attack matters, but it doesn't end the fight, right? But it does make you special in a way. So, yeah, sure. I agree, Tony. I don't like the idea of nerfing it, but I do also agree with Chris that I think there are ways in which Boomtown, it plays slightly differently. Now, Tony, you do bring up the good point that we're not talking about, like, it's such a swing. Now, if you roll max damage, hey, that's a lot of damage. But, I mean, we've all played enough D&D.
So let me stand this on
that
its
rolling
head, though.
Max damage is not easy all the time. Let me, right?
Believe me, I know. Yeah. Let's. What are your thoughts on the knife fighter, the bladed guy? Like how would that look retrospectively? Like by comparison,
I think he would retain much
guy,
of the same.
Yeah, it's exact. It plays exactly as sneak attack does because it makes sense in that way. If you're all buddied up with people, if they're having to fend off someone else and you come up behind them with a knife, whatever, that makes a lot more sense, right?
Yeah, but it corrects the damage imbalance in when you're using an edged weapon versus when you're using a firearm, which has a much higher damage potential.
Yeah.
You know,
it's hard to say because
my longsword is going to be 1d10 no matter what. You know, as I'm like the our base is much higher. Everything is like 2d8, 2d10, those kind of things. That's like the base damage you're doing. So it felt like it could get out of hand really quick with where you'd basically have to functionally have a bazooka there in your thing, which would work really good for some situations, just not for the, you know, consistently, like it would be difficult with people not wearing armor.
I mean, it does add to the idea though of, I mean, like Wild West stuff where
the lethality of it, for
you
sure.
know, the person has a bead on you and they drop you with that shot. Now, unfortunately, like if the villains also have sneak attacks, so, you know, just this is the lethality.
Yeah, I mean,
of the world.
We can always incorporate quick draw later, much like the assassin, and it becomes more of a subtype where you're that kind of a rogue that you're really quick with the weapon. I just thought it was cool that moving around an initiative more would make them, that might be a cool way to be able for them to be able to play.
Oh, I don't dislike that idea at all. I love the idea of a quick draw. And I feel like that absolutely could be like one of the archetypes, like instead of the assassin, it's like the quick draw expert, right? Cause you're able to just get it off. Yeah. All right. So generally, I mean, this is definitely a playtest kind of thing, generally keep sneak attack overall kind of the same, but for me, like just adjudicating it more heavily, a lot of times we just say, okay, yeah, you're hidden, yeah, you get the advantage,
it,
you know.
You, maybe you have to be hidden. Maybe we take away the 5 feet thing or something like that. It's something to think about as a way to make it more adjudicatable, is that it's not just like somebody's buddied up with them and I can just take my pot shots. But
for me, with the interest of firearms, you know, the 5 foot thing is one thing with swords and bows, but you're firing into a melee. You know, like, yeah, you could. That sneak attack could also land on the person they're meleeed up with, though, too. And I think that's absolutely fair, you know?
I mean, so if you're gonna be playing this character, right? So, like, I'm Maverick, and you're Maverick, and I'm Roland, okay? And we're in a bar fight, and you blast someone real good in the beginning of the combat. Let's say we would allow a sneak attack in the beginning. Is that what you're thinking?
Oh, no, I'm saying, like, we could keep the sneak attack. The mechanics kind of the same as they are, but one, more on the DM to adjudicate it appropriately. A lot of times I think we just kind of like, yeah, you're hidden. Okay, yeah, you get that extra, you know, instead of really making them work for it. You know, like, I just hide behind this barrel, you know, like, it's broad daylight, right?
That's,
you know,
fair.
So that's more like the adjudicating of that. But that's just dependent on what's happening. But I think, obviously, if you're hidden, then yeah, you're drawing a bead on somebody. But if you are firing into a melee, there is a big chance that you're hitting the person who is right next to them in the melee as they're scuffling, right? Because that's the whole point of sneak attack, is that they're taken up with moving around and wrestling against this other person, and you're firing directly into that.
I mean, I think if you take that portion of it out and we go with the idea that you're drawing a bead, you're hidden, you're taking your turn, you're doing something to do this. But if you take that out, then it makes it much easier to adjudicate, because someone's always going to end up being 5 feet with them. Like, right, it's part of that. And I know that it's part of the rogue thing, but we're giving them some other things to kind of help to flavor that. But, I mean, we can just – it is the basic, right?
It is the rogue ability, power, right? Right? Yeah, so, the rogue power.
You don't want to
– all right. So, generally speaking, we'll just kind of keep a general – it's generally the same, right? So we'll just see what that happens. Now, when we start talking about, you know, in Boomtown, like, as you level up, you know, do you finally have 10d6 plus the thing, you know? I mean, who knows? Who knows? Let's find out. But we'll keep sneak attack generally as it is right now. But that's so open. That's open to some changes as we go forward.
I will say something crazy, all right, from my Call of Cthulhu experience, like, prior to the one that we've had recently.
Yeah.
Like, it, like, you and you were in this camp. We were on this campaign together, right? Yeah, and I was a guy who rolled around with a lot of guns, right? Yeah. That didn't keep me safe, because at any given moment you could just get punked and dropped. Yeah. And I guess we want to have that cool aspect where we can have the gunfight, but if depending upon how gritty, I guess that's where I'm trying to, like, get to, like, the real meat of it. Like, how gritty is this? Is this like? Yeah. You know, any given gunfight could put you down. I mean, maybe that should be a case, because if guns are not threatening, then, like, you know, what is?
Dragon? At a certain point, you would, I think we extend that period of, you know, like, your first level, second level period where you feel scared in the D&D environment, but there is a cap on it. Once you're up to 8th, 9th, 10th level, a gunfight really isn't as dangerous anymore. Like, I have a store of hit points there. Like, I can take a couple bullets. Obviously, that's experience and all those other things, but it starts to be, they definitely hit a power level where
your first tier adventuring is going to be, like, really lethal, but it's going to change how you approach it too, right?
So it's going to last longer, right? Like, your first tier is going to be until 7th, 8th level, because you need enough hit points to absorb a couple lead, you know, like lead
and bullets. I mean, I know this is for much in the future, but I'm not against the idea that in the Boomtown campaign setting, like, you cap out at, like, level 10. Like, you still gain certain, like, new features, but you don't just roll around with 150 hit points either, you know. Similar, Chris, to Lord of the Rings,
LOTR. I mean,
the original iteration of Dragonlance, you could never go past a certain level. Tony, in Journey to Ragnarok, you were playing with an idea with this, with the runic levels, because what you did was you capped hit points so that we could still play in the world and not be gods walking upon the soil, right?
That's very true, because like in 4E, and I know everybody hates 4E, except I liked some things about it, and you can go up to level 30. Now, I'm not suggesting this is the environment for us to go to level 30, but it stretched things out more, where like in D&D, at 10th level, you're a big deal.
Yeah.
Like you are a lord, you're a lady, you own a castle, you're a expert wizard, people fear you, you have a reputation. You know, and once you get past that, like that sweet spot at level 4 where everybody's kind of nervous, even in normal combats, because, you know, things can go south. But the Call of Cthulhu moment we had, there was a situation. I guess it's what we kind of want to put out there is how you want to approach the world. I know there was a situation where there was a boat where there was bad guys on. And instead of trying to sneak in or infiltrate or disguise, like we rolled up there with our whole crew and trying to take
popping rounds. Yeah.
Right, and it Thor had a guy poorly. Out there with an elephant gun.
The guy had an elephant poorly. Gun. Yes, I remember that.
It ended poorly. So
it ended poorly. That's exactly right. Poorly.
All right. So, So that generally is like that's given us John East Maverick at first level. Taking him up to second level, it goes up to 19 hit points. So now he might be able to survive a gunfight if he can actually hit his target. The feature that is usually gone with rogues is cunning action. I think it's a perfect one. I think it works wonderfully. It's the dash, disengage, hide action. I don't think we need to do a damn thing about changing that, right? Yeah, it's also it fits into our idea of Maverick and like the knife fighter and the all of that, right? Yeah, it fits beautifully with that. So then if we take him up one more time, that's another 8 hit points. So that's going to be at 27. Hit points. So already at third level, that's serious. I mean, you could absolutely possibly survive a gunfight if you do it properly. So with that, that goes into the biggest thing, which we ran into with Roland too, the idea of our archetypes in this world, like the beginning ideas. And like we built it off of with Roland, we built it off the original. Generally, like we had the Eldritch Knight idea, we had a champion idea, like the peacemaker, and then we had the battle master, like the tactician kind of idea. And we called them some different things. We had some ideas. Same thing here. So the rogue, we got your thief, your assassin, and your arcane trickster. And for me, as I give it off to you guys, I think those fit beautifully into this world, kind of as is.
I mean, I was thinking a little bit more flavorful. Maybe we get like the actual knife fighter, the gambler, or the sharpshooter.
Oh, I'm not saying like the names. I'm saying how they work out.
Or if we take the thief like a con artist and make it a bit more charisma focused. I like that maybe the arcane trickster maybe is like a demolition expert or something like that. And we turn to focus. That would be a way to be able to enhance that sort of level of the things there. I was also thinking of something like a scout, I don't know if that becomes the quick draw artist. That's the thing there, but something like that. That one leads a little bit rangerish, but is sort of,
For me, like that arcane trickster, very similar to the Eldritch Knight. So it gives the opportunity because obviously there's the tech that's being found in the wastes. That's the whole kind of inciting incident of this world. And that is what is quote unquote magic. Aside from the possible sorceress origins because of the radiation issues that we talked about, the possible divine sources with clerics and things like that. But like the arcane trickster, like the same way with our fighter idea where they have the ability to use some of this tech already, and that allows for the things like arcane trickster, because again that wouldn't be until third level, so like that could be a possibility that they can then start to play with tech and kind of build out their new quote-unquote spells. Yeah, and then with that too, like the assassin, Chris, I think that fits into your quick draw idea.
Quick draw, but like, yeah, we would just reskin a lot of that thing as that. But I mean, which one of these would be, do you think John East would be a quick draw East? Is he more of like a demolitions expert or, you know, arcane trickster, or is he more of like a con artist? I mean, and like Jim West was probably more of a con artist, right? Or, you know, somewhere
between Jim West and John East.
Yeah. But, I don't know what John East is. What do you think?
Dave wants a knife guy. He's been pitching this.
Well, I mean, I think that like you have your knife fighter type of person, but like we did play with this idea that John is a demolitions guy, and that's why his wisdom is kind of low, okay. Right? Because you know you're playing
demolition man.
I'm thinking back to yeah. I'm actually thinking back to the Tomb of Annihilation campaign and Thorin's goblin character.
Oh yes, yes.
Where yeah, he was just crazy, and that's why he would. Like, he was just, like, he said he was, like, covered in, like, burn scars and stuff because he was insane to work with this, like, fire magic and stuff, you know? He was a artificer, but, yeah, he would build, like, boom tubes and stuff, you know, that were just, yeah. So, for me, like, I feel like John, while I love the idea of the knife fighter, and it doesn't mean he can't be, but he does like to blow things up, right?
So all right.
There is that. So I don't know, maybe like by the time he's third level, maybe he becomes an arcane trickster and he has more evocation stuff from his tech, you know, or something like that, maybe. But again, like that does, the archetypes are still somewhat amorphous, guys. So between last episode and this, let us know your thoughts on where we're going with these, with the fighter and the rogue. But with that, let's go to some final thoughts about John Maverick East and what rogues kind of look like in Boomtown.
So how you handle things in Dragonlance, Dave, when we got to a point where we acquired magic and it was very unusual, I think we should implement that or something like it here. Like, for example, if Mr. East were to get magic. I mean, I would really, I think we should do our diligence and skin these subclasses out more so, give them a much more unique flavor to the world. But with that said, if you were to say you got a couple spells at third level, I'll just throw that out there. There should be on our part as the DMs a little bit more legwork to explain that happening rather than you're third level and now you have a spell book with a couple spells in it, like it came in the mail. Congratulations, Mr. East, you've been working at this hard, you know, and all of a sudden you know magic now, because that should be a big deal.
No, but it kind of double down on Tony's thing is I think that's important. I think especially maybe for people like the gunslinger and the bandit thief, a rogue person we're creating, their magic is very much tech-based, right? Because you wouldn't want to nerf the wizard or anything like that. They're going to need to have some spells, cantrips at first level. But the idea is that maybe I get the ability to use it. I think back to your earlier point later on in the things there, because a lot of what your character has to do when they get to Boomtown is go find magic and technology. We don't want you to have it. Otherwise, you wouldn't want to go out and find it. So I think that would be an important thing there. And I think this is a good example, once again, just like how to take something as simple as that. I started thinking about it from a perspective. Depending if you're thinking sci-fi, watch some Star Wars or whatever and see how they kind of put it together. I just sort of kind of picked up, you know, looked at some Western kind of things and started to think about, well, how would this work in our world a little bit? And it's like you start to put the ideas together and pretty soon you can tweak a lot of what the existing stuff like even as what we're doing is we're doing a lot more reskinning than creating from the ground up, which is a good way to do it, is to lean on the work of others and kind of help to enhance it and create your own thing from it. So that's my bit.
Yeah, I will continue on with where you left off, Chris. That Thorin used to talk about all the time, the idea of benchmarking. It's one of the easiest ways to do this stuff. I mean, you can create a whole new RPG if you would like. For us, we're thinking, hey, we'd love to create a cool world that we can just go play in instead of having to do all of the let's rebuild everything from the ground up. So we are reskinning a lot of stuff. We don't make any apologies for that in that way. But I do think, yes, Tony, what made Dragonlance fun was that I really leaned into, which the campaign setting that they released with Shadow of the Dragon Queen leans into it a little bit, but being a Dragonlance fan, I really leaned into it. I leaned into the idea of the moons changing how magic works. I leaned into a lot of that type of stuff. We've talked about it. We changed how the cleric kind of worked a little bit. To make it more in line with the setting. In the same way we're doing with this, where, yes, really leaning in on the tech. Outside of things like sorcerers and people who have been changed and now magic is kind of flowing through them, you have your wizards and artificers that are building these things, taking the tech from out in the wastes and reforming it into something else. And for me, I think we really lean into that and we make it something fun between the DM and the player to where do we want to take this, right? I'm not going to go out and I'll find like a magic revolver, but I'm also just going to find weird magic stuff out there, weird power sources and stuff. And how do we want to rebuild things? How do we want to make some new, like how does my spell work type of thing? So I think that's where some of this can really shine, where you can start to build it out in your world. And it's this, you know, having to go out and find the tech or retrieve it in some fashion. So I'm also going to give a little bit of a sneak peek here because we've talked about it, and I don't think I'm letting too much a cat out of the bag, but we are planning on finishing out with the wizard idea class and the cleric class. And we're thinking that like Roland and John East and whoever our wizard and cleric are, and Jim West and Bob North. But whoever they are, that's going to be our initial starting adventure party. So so I feel like we're going to see these people playing out there. And let us know, guys, what you think. I mean, let us know even if you'd like to see us jump on a live stream or something and see what the hell this actually looks like in play and see if any of our reskinning completely imbalances the entire game. So the minute we're all dead in a gunfight. But that's going to be it for me. Yeah, that's going to be it for me. And this is going to be it for us this week. Thank you again for tuning in. And please, like I said, guys, reach out to us. Again, the main point of this podcast is we are DMs with problems. We love to help DMs with problems. So if you're having problems or questions or issues at your table, reach out to us. You can reach out to us again, 3wisedms.com in the What's Your Problem field. Reach out to us at 3wisedms@gmail.com. And then also Facebook and Instagram, you can reach out to us there with your ideas. But as we build out Boomtown more and more, give us your thoughts and opinions and ideas on this. And a lot of times we're just making it part of Boomtown. So reach out to us. Let us know what you think as we build out this gigantic first ever, I think, crowdsourced campaign setting. I mean, I don't really have any funny way to say it. So if you need dice, just roll out to our affiliate link at fanrolldice.com/REF/2871. Put in the code 3WiseDMs10. That's the number 3WiseDMs, the number 10. You get 10% off your whole order, which is pretty sweet. That will be it. And as we do each episode, we are going to let our dear old erstwhile leader take us out.
And thank you to all of you listening from home. We really appreciate it. If you liked what you've been listening to, please smash that 5-star rating button. Let us know. Leave a good review. Tell your friends. That really helps us grow. If you'd like to hear us answer any question you have, send it to us at 3wisedms@gmail.com or go to our website, 3wisedms.com, and enter it in the What's Your Problem field. Or you can talk to us on Facebook, Instagram. We're active on all those platforms, so feel free to drop by, you know, send us a question, and we'll see if we can make it on the show. That's it for this week. We'll see you next time, 3 Wise Beings.